just like to start this morning's sermon off with a prayer, prayer of humility for myself and, of course, for us all as we bow before God and as we serve Him every day. Would you join me? Father God, we come before You knowing that You are holy. Father, knowing that You are all-powerful. Father, knowing that You are our God, our Lord and Savior. You are almighty, Lord. We can't ever say enough about You. But Father, as we come before You today, as we come together as an assembly to praise, to worship, to be with You, Lord, we ask, Father, that we would truly be with You this morning. We ask, Father, that we would not put ourselves before You and Your will. We ask, Father, that we would not put our own thoughts before You and Your thoughts, Lord. For You have saved us. You have brought us here today, Lord, and You will show us Your ways. We pray, Father, I pray, Father, now in humility, that You would show us Your ways, that You would show us Your word, Father, that You would show us Your will in our lives each and every day. We thank You for bringing us here today. We thank You for every person here today, for their willingness to open up their hearts and minds to what You have to share. We ask that You would guide us through as we continue in Your word. We pray all this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Well, it's a new year. And it is gone by all too quickly, hasn't it? The years, as I was told as a young man, begin to go by faster and faster. Because here I am, 34 years old now. And for some of you, like the youngins in here, Joseph's thinking, man, he's so old. And for others of you, y'all are thinking, man, he's such a baby. But yet we see this idea of time and it goes by so quickly. And as 2018 winds down, there are many things to look back on. In fact, it's kind of hard not to look back at 2018 or any year that passes so quickly and see all of the good, to see all of the bad and the ugly, to be reminded of all these things, to be reminded of all the sad, of all the happy, and even just the mediocre times. It's hard not to remember the big events that happened over the past year, the small events that happened, or even just the events of everyday life. It's hard not to look back at the past year and see all of these things and remember them all and be captivated by them. The ups and the downs, well, they always happen. And every year that passes bring new ones, don't they? And sometimes, as we go through these ups and downs, we forget that they're all behind us. But they have shown us something. And most importantly, we have a future ahead of us. So what stands before us in 2019? What is to come in this new year, in this new day, or even the new hour that will be after this one, if Lord wills it? God's people have found themselves in many great transitions throughout history. And each time, it never ceases to amaze me at how much God cares. In every situation, in every example that we see in Scripture, we know that God cares. Today, we're going to look at the plans that God had for His people as they returned from the Babylonian exile. In turn, we will see that our journey oftentimes feels a lot like that. Our journey, although it is our own, relies on the love that God has for us. Their relationship with God is much like ours. And much like the Jews, our future relies on a promise from God. So if you've got your Bibles or your tablets or your cell phones or whatever you've got this morning, Go ahead and turn over to Ezra chapter 1. Ezra chapter 1, and we are going to begin reading in verse 1. So Ezra chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, "Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, in order to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, so that he sent a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and also put it in writing, saying, 'Thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has appointed me to build him a house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Whoever there is among you of all his people, may his God be with him. Let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and rebuild the house of the Lord, the God of Israel. He is the God who is in Jerusalem.'" So, of course, we always want to look at what context this is being said in. And by this time, the kingdom, well, God's people, they've been through a lot at this point. It seemed that as they grew in stature and power as a people, as a nation, they fell in spirituality. For centuries, the kingdom had been growing and prospering until the days of Solomon. And as we know, it even reached its greatest heights of wealth during his reign. But it was after his death that we see the kingdom is split into two. The kingdom becomes divided between the northern and southern kingdom. And from here, it seems like things just go downhill. More and more. They slide further and further. And as we have been studying in our Wednesday evening class, by Isaiah's time, their ways had become so corrupt that their practice of the law was even unpleasing to God. That's right, the very commands that God had given them to accomplish were no longer pleasing to him. Even them practicing these things from the law were being rejected now by God. The things that he had given them were defamed, and the ritual practice had become empty and heartless. As Isaiah prophesied, God's people were sent into exile because of all of this. Because of their heartless worship, they were sent and divided. They were destroyed. The temple was destroyed in 586 BC, and they were scattered throughout the Babylonian Empire. Life, as they knew it, was no longer there. It was nowhere to be found. The things that they had grown up with and understood had completely been destroyed and done away with. Now they were living in foreign lands and foreign homes with foreign people, and even began to marry these foreign people and become even worse off than they were then. They struggled through these things. They lost their identity. Have you ever been slapped in the face? It doesn't feel good, does it? It's very unique. I'm ashamed to say that, yes, I have been slapped in the face. And it's because, maybe because I needed it. But at times, we kind of need this rude awakening, don't we? Being slapped in the face is very jarring. Your face actually has a cranial nerve that connects directly to your brainstem. And so, simply spoken, all this means is that as your body kind of categorizes different pains and allows different pains to be sent to your brain, it categorizes them by importance. Of course, your head is very important. There's a lot of important things, especially one important thing that guides the rest of your body. And so simply this cranial nerve, well, it offers a lot of pain.
the nerve endings in your face are very sensitive. If you were to get slapped in the arm, it's not going to feel the same as if somebody slaps you in the face. It's going to be a little more awakening. Your head is full of important stuff, and if that happens to you, it's going to give you a jolt of pain unlike any other. It brings you to full awareness very quickly. Your body automatically recognizes that pain and says, "What just happened? What do I need to do to avoid that?" This was God's proverbial slap to the face. For his people, they had lost their way. They were slapped in the face by being ripped from their homes and having the very center of God's presence destroyed. And yeah, it was certainly a wake-up call for the Jews. Have you ever had that kind of wake-up call in your life? This proverbial slap to the face to make you suddenly aware of everything that's going on in your life. To make you suddenly aware of the very dangers that cause this pain. The very things that threaten your belief and understanding. The kind of jolt to your system that suddenly makes you think and consider where your life is going. You're suddenly aware of all the highs and all the lows, of all the success and failure over the past year. What I want you to know this morning is that God never does this just for the sake of doing it. He never simply slaps you in the face to leave you in your pain. For the Israelites, for God's people, after years of waiting, as we just read, God fulfills Jeremiah's prophecy. He brings them up out of their pain, the exile that they had been experiencing for so long, for approximately 70 years, and causes King Cyrus of Persia to restore the Jews to their home. And what's more, he allows them to restore the house of God, the temple of the Lord. So as we're going along here in Ezra, we're going to skip down to chapter 3. I'll fill you in because for the rest of chapter 1 through the beginning of chapter 3, we read of the Jews' return. They were allowed to bring all the treasures that had been removed by King Nebuchadnezzar from the Babylonians. They're allowed to return all of those things to the temple as they rebuild it. There was an important lineage that's mentioned that has been preserved. And it lists all of the belongings that they brought with them. The beginning of chapter 3 reports that sacrifices even resumed. They began to offer these sacrifices to the Lord by the sons of Israel. And for the first time in a long time, they gathered together as one. Isn't it amazing how God brings you together as you praise and worship Him? This is what happened to the Israelites as they began to wake up. As they began to remember their identity. So let's pick back up in chapter 3, verse 9. Chapter 3, verse 9. It says, "Then Yeshua, with his sons and brothers, stood united with Kadmiel and his sons, the sons of Judah and the sons of Hadad, with their sons and brothers, the Levites, to oversee the workmen in the temple of God. Now when the builders had laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests stood in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the son of Asaph, with cymbals, to praise the Lord according to the directions of King David of Israel. And they sang, praising and giving thanks to the Lord, saying, 'For he is good, for his loving kindness is upon Israel forever.' And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. Yet many of the priests and Levites and heads of fathers' households, the old men who had seen the first temple, wept with a loud voice when the foundation of the house was laid before their very eyes, while many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not distinguish the sound of the shout of joy from the sound of weeping of the people. For the people shouted with a loud shout, and the sound was heard far away. Whenever God gives you a rude awakening, He doesn't just leave you in your pain. He restores you. And it's this restoration that wakes you up that is truly life-giving. This return to God's presence is more than we can ever explain. Sometimes it does take a wake-up call to give us an appreciation for the things that are most important. A sad part of life, but truly, we see that happen time and time again in our own lives. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 11 says, "What are your multiplied sacrifices to me, says the Lord? I've had enough of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed cattle, and I take no pleasure in the blood of bulls, lambs, or goats. When you come to appear before me, who requires this of this trampling of my courts? Bring your worthless offerings no longer. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath, the calling of assemblies. I cannot endure iniquity and the solemn assembly. I hate your new moon festivals and your appointed feast. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them." God's people have come a long way by this time in Ezra. They've come a long way since these harsh words that we just read from Isaiah. Now they find themselves weeping. After trampling on God's courts in His temple, now they find themselves weeping at the sight of the foundation being laid. They find themselves in awe of the foundation of His temple. And then what follows is absolutely amazing. Isn't it amazing how in our lives, whenever we are awakened to the things that truly matter, whenever we are awakened to the relationship that we have with God and the direction that He is transforming us in, isn't it amazing how much we appreciate it? We take it for granted sometimes. For those of us who have been raised in the church, we know God. We know Scripture. We know the songs that we sing and the things that we're supposed to do. But we forget about the important things. We forget about the things that matter. Let's read back in Ezra one more time. The end of verse 12 and verse 13 again, of chapter 3. It says, "While many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not distinguish the sound of the shout of joy from the sound of weeping of the people. For the people shouted with a loud shout, and the sound was heard far away." It's times like these that bring us together when we remember what truly matters. When life slaps you in the face and you are faced with the true reality, it's good to know that together we're one. That in God we are one. Together we praise. Together we overcome. Together we can find God. I began here at Cristoval full-time in June. Been about 6 months since I've been here full-time. And since that time, I've had the wonderful opportunity to get to know so many of you that much more. to share time with you, to share in the burdens, in the sorrows, in the joys, in the scary things, and the happy things. And with all of that, I still don't know your heart completely, nor will I ever know. I don't know everything that happened to you, that changed your journey, that changed your heart in 2018, and I especially don't know what will happen to you in 2019. But someone does. Someone knows what's going on in your life right now. He sees that. He's brought you here in your life for his purpose to show you something. And I don't know what that is, but he does. And you can find out. Turn with me to one more scripture as we conclude today. Jeremiah chapter 29. Turn over to Jeremiah chapter 29 in verse 10. This relationship that God brings us through and to in our lives with him, it's special. And with all the things that we do in faith, with all the ways that we serve him, it's all about the way he brings us to him and the plans that he has for his people. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 10 says this: "For thus says the Lord, when 70 years have been completed for Babylon, I will visit you and fulfill my good word to you, to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." It's this that God has in store for you. It's this that God had in store for his people. These words from Jeremiah were prophesied. And as we read in chapter 1 of Ezra, it was these things that were fulfilled. He brought them back here. They went into exile and they struggled for many years, feeling lost, perhaps even feeling abandoned. But God tells his people that it is not calamity that I want for you. It is a future and a hope. It is a relationship with God. It is that you would search him with all of your heart. So no matter what God has brought you through this past year, no matter what God has carried you through throughout your life, he does so for this reason. So that the things that we do in faith, the things that we say to people, the ways that we serve him are done with our heart. So that they are done because we love him, because we are devoted to him, because we have relationship with him, because he has relationship with us. So I pray that whatever it is that you are going through in your life, whether it be good or bad, I pray that God would show you where he's leading you. I pray that you would see the ways in which he's working in your life, in which he's getting to know you more. I pray that we, as a body of Christ, would come together to help you through that. If you have needs, if you want to devote your life to God, if you want to experience the death, burial, and resurrection,
with Jesus Christ our Lord. Or you just need to ask for forgiveness. Pray that you would do that now as we stand and sing.